chapter 23. Book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Thank God for every song, testimonies. I appreciate all the goodness that we've heard tonight. Find that place in your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 23. I want you to stand with us. You pray for us tonight that the Lord will help us. And I'll say this, while you're finding that place in your Bible, I don't really know how to explain it, but I've really, on the last several Wednesday nights, I've really enjoyed preaching, and maybe as much as I guess I ever have in my whole life. And I've got assurance in my heart that tonight will be no different. Now, maybe you might not enjoy it, but I'm going to enjoy preaching it. Amen. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to it. And my body don't feel real good tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you. The spirit indeed is willing, even when the flesh is weak. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to this. You pray the Lord help us. I'll start in verse 1, and I'm going to read down a few verses and get where I feel like the Lord have for us tonight. Bible begins and says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." Seems pretty serious. Amen. Verse 2, he said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people." He said, "Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited my people." You've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. "Behold, I will visit you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." He said, "I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch." That is a capital B right there. And he says, "And a king," capital K, said, "shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before you one more time. And God, I sure thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for every good song that we heard. God, I thank you, Lord, for the sweet assurance that we have in our heart. God, I'm thankful that, Lord, that what they were testifying about, and God, what they were singing about, Lord, I'm glad it's not thorn in my heart. God, I'm glad tonight that, Lord, that I know what it is to call on your name and to have you answer prayers. And God, that only me and you know anything about. God, I can't tell you how thankful that I am right now. That God, that I don't have to go between anybody else. But I'm glad, Lord, that you have made a way. That Father, we can go direct to you. And God, I ain't got to go through man. And Lord, I want to thank you, God, as Brother Adam testified. And God, that I don't have to do ordinances. I don't have to offer indulgences. I didn't need to bring a sacrifice tonight. I'm glad, Lord, by one offering you have perfected forever of them that are in you. Lord, I'd ask you tonight that God should help us one more time. Father, just to sound the trumpet. God, I pray that you'd hide us behind the cross. God, give us unction tonight to preach. And Father, I pray, help us one more time to magnify Christ. Lord, we sure thank you. We bless your heart and your holy name for it all. For it's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention just a few simple observations tonight, and then I'll try to preach the message. I'm still preaching on some things that you and I can rest in. I'm saying this to you again, and I don't want to sound like a broken record. I'm not trying to be like that, but I am trying to drive a point home. And when the believers are resting solely in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something to be said about the sweet fellowship that transpires out of that relationship. I thank God. And when you don't have to worry about your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand, if you aren't born again by the grace of God, and my friend, you positionally are forever reconciled reconciled and justified in the sight of God. Amen. And I'm resting in that tonight. I'm glad it ain't got nothing to do with nothing that I feel. I already said that, but I want to call your attention here. I've been preaching about things we're resting in. And in verse number 6, I find that he says, the Lord, our righteousness. I want to preach on this thought tonight. On I am resting in his righteousness. Amen. I want to say this, friend, a few just, again, observations out of the text. I'd say to you, first of all, I'm trying to count the best of my ability. And on the two pages in my Bible, at page 808 and 809, there's about 1,200 words on these two pages alone. But there are four words in my Bible that stick out on those two pages more than any other words. Amen. It's almost like the Holy Ghost that says you need to pay attention to these words right here. And just in case you might miss it, I believe I'll capitalize every single letter of the word. Amen. And so thank God we find. And I thought about this. First thing you can see is the emphasis of this communication. It's as if God wants you to understand. I'm not saying that the words on chapter 22 is less important, or the other words in chapter 23 is not important. But man, the Holy Ghost saw fit right in the midst of that text that your eyes naturally run to the place where your Bible reads the Lord our righteousness. I'd say this, first of all, it shows the emphasis, and I thought about this. I'm glad it shows the establishment at that place there when it says the Lord. Hey, you remember back over there in Genesis or Exodus rather. Let me just read this to you while I'm thinking about it. Up in Exodus chapter 3 verse 15. Hey, you remember Moses is standing there and God said, I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to give you a name and I've not gave nobody else before. And in Exodus chapter 3 verse 15, he says, I am that I am. Amen. And in verse 16, this is what he said. At the end of this verse, or verse 15 rather, he said, this is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generation. And so what we find is this. And it ought to remind us about an established covenant. When the Lord says, the Lord our righteousness, he said, that is my name forever. Amen. And so thank God, God has not changed his name. He's not changed his idea about what it takes for righteousness. He's never changed his mind about who righteousness comes through. It will come through Christ. Amen. And then I'll say this, I just read it. And I like to read commentaries sometimes. But thank God you better take them for man's opinion. Boy, I was reading one the other day. This is what it said. It said the writers of the King James Bible, they got it wrong. It said there's only two words supposed to be all caps, and that is the Lord. That's his name. It said the words our righteousness is not supposed to be capitalized because that's not his name. And I said, thank God that's where they got it wrong. And you can't separate his attributes from his person. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Whatever he is, he always has been. Amen. Thank God that's why. Thank God we like to testify and we like to talk about the fact that God is faithful, and I'm glad that he is. But it's not just that he is faithful, but there's coming a day when he comes back in Revelation 19, have it written down his side, it will say faithful. Amen. How you understand, thank God, how you can't separate what he is from the name he possesses. He's not just holy, that's who he is. Amen. Oh yes, thank God. And so I say they got it right. And when they said thank God, these two words go together. And that's who he is. And the Lord is righteous. He can't be anything else. And thank God he can't be wrong. And when he's always right. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, I really do believe that. I don't believe he ever had a wrong step. I don't believe he ever had a wrong thought. I don't believe he had ever had a wrong action. I believe he's always been all right. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. What's it? I'd say this to you tonight. I believe it shows the essence of his character. But I believe this is what it shows us. It shows us the endowment of the cure. Thank God. He says, the Lord, he is our righteousness. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad tonight I'm not resting in anything else. Let me say this to you. If you're here and you're lost and without hope in God, I thank God tonight I'm not resting in anything else. And the reason I can lay my head down tonight and that I can look somebody and say, when it comes my time to die, I know where I'm going. It's because I ain't counting on anything that I ever have done. And man, what a blessing. And thank God. I'm going to help you tonight if God will help me. But I want you to listen to me real good. And man, it used to trouble my heart that I didn't pray right, or I didn't say the right words, or any of those other things. But I'm going to tell you this, neighbor. Thank God my heart was toward Christ, and my heart turned toward him. And the second my heart turned toward Christ, I'm glad to say to you how the words out of my mouth were irrelevant. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. And my heart bowed down, and my heart said, he's Lord. Thank God. And my mouth followed where my heart went. Amen. And my heart said, he's Lord. And my mouth started confessing it. I'm going to say this. Let me say a few things. I may say a lot of things tonight, but thank God, I'm glad for my helper. I'm glad for what I can feel on the inside of my heart. I'm going to tell you this now. I don't want you to mess up what I'm saying tonight. But boy, I'm glad I can rest in the problem of righteousness. I thought about this tonight. Hallelujah to God. Listen to me, friend. I thought about several things. About where you and I stand at. I thought, first of all, and listen, I can rest in the fact that I'm depraved. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means you ain't got no righteousness. Amen. And you ain't got none, thank God. And the Bible says, there's none righteous. And no, not one. I understand I went to Scott County and I graduated from Scott High. But the last I checked, and none means none. Amen. That means, thank God, there ain't nobody in here that ever had any. And you say, preacher, that don't seem like something to rest in. Oh, yes, thank God. I'm afraid, Chase, if I ever had any, I'd be worried to death about losing it. Amen. You ought to help me right there, thank God. If I ever did have it. And David, if today I had complete righteousness, and Brother Talmer, I'd be worried to death. I'd have to go lock myself in a room, exile myself and isolate myself from all of society to try to keep my righteousness. And then I would not be fulfilling the commission. And so I'd still be sinning. Amen. But I'm glad to report to you tonight. Thank God it's a happy day when you realize you ain't got no righteousness. Amen. And look at me. You ain't even a little bit good. Amen. Oh, yes, good neighbor. I'll tell you how good you are. You're about a little bit good. About as much as a little bit of strychnine that will cause somebody to die. Amen. Thank God that's about how good we are. And we ain't no count. I mean, listen, this will help some of you. You ain't no count. And you ain't never been no count. Amen. Oh, thank God. I'm glad for the day. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Until you get to a point where you realize you ain't got no righteousness. I mean, you ain't got none. You are depraved completely and totally. You ain't got any. Amen. But then I thought, I'm glad tonight. Not only am I depraved and I ain't got no righteousness, but I'm also resting in the fact that I'm defiled and I can't produce no righteousness. Amen. Oh yeah. You say, preacher, that don't sound good. And the Bible, you hear it said all the time around here. But Isaiah 64:6 has said, we are all together as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Amen. And that means I can't produce it. And you say, preacher, why you resting in that? And chase if I thought I could produce it. I mean, I'd run myself to death. I'm trying to figure out how much I need to produce. Amen. Have it all tonight. I mean, I'd get up in the morning. I'd probably try to pray for 10 hours. I'd try to read my Bible for another 10. That's until what a man might try to do if he was trying to produce his own righteousness. And you say, preacher, why can't you produce it? Because you're drawing out of a dirty well. Amen. And as long as you're drawing out of a dirty well, there's no way to get clean water. And you got to get a new well. Amen. Fight. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm talking about you got to get a new well on the inside of your soul. That seems like the Bible says something about that in John chapter number 4. I'm glad tonight, friend, that God can replace what's wrong on the inside. And so you can't produce no righteousness. And thank God you ain't got no righteousness. I'm going to say this, and you can't earn no righteousness. Amen. And thank God. I mean, we're defiled. We're destitute. And we can't even earn no righteousness. I got to thinking about this. And listen, I read this. This is a Google. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just, hey, you take it for what it's worth, all right? But Scotty Ray, I Googled this. I said, I wonder what's the accumulated worth in a wealth, rather, in all the world. And this is what it said. It said $600 trillion. I thought, man, that's a lot. Amen. I thought, I wonder what that is in Jamestown terms. And so I put in there, if you earn $50,000 a year, how long would it take you to get $600 trillion? And listen, friend, and it said it'd take you 12 billion lifetimes, 12 billion years. Amen. And that's a mighty, listen, and my math don't math like that. That's a way above my head. But I'm telling you this, now listen, stay tuned. And I'm going somewhere. If you had 12 billion years and you earned 50,000 worth of righteousness every year, and at the end of 12 billion years, you had $600 trillion worth of righteousness. And the Bible teaches us in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And thank God, if you had $600 trillion and you offered it up to Christ, and for just your one soul, and Christ would say, that's not enough. Amen. I don't know how in the world you would ever rest. Amen. And thinking you had to earn it yet. Oh, listen, these folks running around. I mean, I've talked to people who felt like if they said, and listen, I'm against cussing. Everybody knows that. But I've been around folks who felt like if they had a bad thought, and said a bad word, or done a bad deed, that they're probably going to die and go to hell before the day's over. I'm telling you, I'd be worried to death, good neighbor. I mean, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. But your thoughts probably ain't real good all the time. Amen. Amen, good neighbor. And you say, preacher, thank God, they said, mine's not too bad. Oh, well, we'll see when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm afraid that, thank God, what we'll find out is that there are none of us real good about that, even after we're saved, because God didn't save my mind, amen. And that thing's still troubled. And so I want to go on record tonight as to say, thank God, I'm not teeter-tottering every moment. I'm wondering if I'm standing in jeopardy every hour, trying to figure out whether I'm in or whether I'm out. No, good neighbor, I'm resting my head on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, it'll be a happy day in your life. And when you realize you ain't got no righteousness, you can't produce no righteousness, you can't earn no righteousness, you can't buy no righteousness. And so you just sit there and you say, preacher, what do I do then? And thank God, you realize that there's a God in heaven that produced for you what you could not provide for yourself. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. And so listen, friend, I'm resting in the problem of righteousness. But I'm also resting tonight in the provision of righteousness. And the Bible says here, listen, several things I could preach on tonight. And Psalm 145, verse 17. And Brother James, it says the Lord is righteous. Amen. And boy, I like that. Amen. And right here it says, and the Lord our righteousness. And boy, I like that real good too. Amen. And but in Psalms chapter 4, verse number 1, that sweet psalmist of Israel recorded, he said, God is my righteousness. And I thank God for the day that it no longer was just he is and no longer he's everybody. But I'm glad for the day that he became my righteousness. Amen. I mean, listen, I'm standing here today, friend, because he's a Savior in heaven that produced for me, and I am rested in the finished work of the Son of God. Amen. Hey, listen, I told you this. Look at me. I'm saved today. I'll be saved tomorrow. 10 years from now, I'll be saved. 20 years from now, I'll be saved. 100 years from now, I'll still be saved. 10,000 years, I'll still be saved. Amen. And I ain't worried, and not this much, about ever losing it. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. Thank God. I can't even say, preacher, you seem awful bold about that. Well, I just got it out of the Bible. In the book of Daniel chapter 9 verse 24, it says that his righteousness is from everlasting. How long is that, good neighbor? Has somebody help me with that? I mean, listen, I would to God folks got a hold of this. I mean, I just got inside what he always is. Amen. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is righteousness. I just got put on the inside of what he is. And quite literally the Bible would say it like this. We've been accepted in the beloved. That means, thank God, whatever he is, and so are we. Amen. And thank God. Now listen, in this present world, amen. I mean, I'm talking about right now, thank God. And so you say, preacher, how do you rest in his righteousness? And well, I know that it's only in him. Amen. I think nobody else ever been no count but the Lamb of God. Amen. I like all those good verses. What is 2 Corinthians 5, maybe verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Have we made the righteousness of God in him? Man, he knew no sin. I like that, don't you? 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Man, I like that real good too. And so he knew no sin. Thank God he did no sin. I'm glad for those verses, ain't you? I'm glad the Bible says in 1 John 3:5 that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him he has no sin. And so he knew no sin, he did no sin, and in him was no sin. And thank God, that's how I know he's always been right. Amen. And there's never been a time that he could ever be anything but right. That's why the Bible says in Matthew, what is that, 3:17? He said, this is my beloved son, at whom I'm well pleased. He says it again in Matthew 17. This is my beloved son, at whom I'm well pleased. And in Isaiah 53, he said, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. And God looked down, he said, that's the only one I've ever been pleased with. I've been pleased with him here. I'm pleased with him here. I'm pleased with him here. As a matter of fact, there's never been a time that God ain't been pleased with his son. Amen. That's why we can rest in his righteousness. Hey, thank God I'm resting in what's in him. Thank God then I'm resting in what's done by him. I mean, thank God. Listen, now hold on to your hats. That some of this stuff makes me pretty happy. Amen. Over there in 1 Timothy, when the Bible says, as he is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation, and Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he said, of whom I'm chief. And then in Romans 5:19, he said, for by one man's disobedience, and many were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Hey, this is one of my favorite verses, Brother Williams. And when I talk to folks that are diehard Calvinists, because they say that word many, it only means a few. And so let's do a little math right here. When he says, for by one man's disobedience, how many were made sinners? How many is that? Somebody help me. Is that most of them? Is that a few of them? Or is that all of them? Amen.
Oh, yes, thank God. And I saw that first word, and he says, many there. It means everybody. And so thank God when he finishes it up, and he says, even so, and by the obedience of one, that shall many be made righteous. There's enough righteousness that was purchased on Calvary for the same many that they was imputed sin in way back in the garden. I thank God tonight that for as much sin as there is, there's always been that much righteousness for whosoever will, let him come. He won't find that to go empty. He'll not find that barrel dry. He'll find there's righteousness available, and it's in Christ. Amen. I thank God it's in him, it's by him, and the only way you'll ever get it's through him. Amen. If you're going to get made righteous, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. By the way, that's Titus 3:5, I think. By the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. That fella ought to run a little bit right there, thank God, and say it's not by works of righteousness which you've done, but thank God, I'm glad it's according to his mercy that he saved us. Amen. I'm glad whoever us is whoever would bow their head and bend down their heart and say, I trust Christ. I'm telling you, if you're going to go to heaven, you'll go to heaven by the one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I listened to a lady preacher the other day, which is an oxymoron to start with. And when I was listening to that, I thank God one feller said it like this. He said, a lady preacher is like a dog walking on its hind legs. You know it ain't supposed to happen, but you can't take your eyes off of it when it does. Amen. And so I was watching this, and this lady, she said, the words of Christ are not to be taken literally. They're metaphysical words. And if a feller obeys the Ten Commandments, tries to live right, and tries to do right, then he'll get into heaven. I'll tell you what the Bible says about that. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, it said, be not deceived, for unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thank God. I'm glad I ain't got none. I'm glad I know who's got plenty. Amen. Oh, yes. And so I rest in that. And when we sing victory in Jesus, and Miss Irene, I really can sing it. I've got victory on the inside, even when I ain't got victory on the outside. I'm glad when we can say, it's well with my soul. And it is well with my soul, even when it ain't well with my mind. And when it ain't well with my body, I'm glad it's always well and with my soul. I'm not bragging on me. I'm telling you, I'm rested in what Christ done for me. Amen. And the sooner you learn to rest in that, the better off you'll be. Oh, yes. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm going to rest in the provision of it. I'm going to rest in the problem of it. I'm going to rest in the peace of it. Amen. There is peace in resting in Christ. I can't tell you, listen, Brother Kyle, when I got up this morning and I bowed my head, I didn't bow my head because I thought it was going to make me have a better standing with my Father. I bowed my head because I wanted to talk to the one who gave his life for me. When I opened up that Bible joint and I got to reading, I wasn't trying to check off a list. I was trying to hear from heaven. Amen. I talked to him and I wanted him to talk to me. Thank God, I'm glad all day long. I wasn't worried about getting on the interstate and being in a car wreck. I wasn't worried about closing my eyes before a procedure and not waking up. I felt, thank God, I'm either going to wake up out of my mind and thank God under anesthesia, or I'm going to wake up in the best mind I've ever had in my life. I'm telling you, I can tell you in an honest heart, it's not ever been 1 ounce of fear since I learned to rest in Christ about what's going to happen when I take my final breath. I mean, listen, friend, I believe the Bible. I believe I ain't going to a grave I believe to be absent in this body is to be present and with the Lord. I believe it'll happen that fast. I believe I'll be there just that quick. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. I'm resting in it. Oh, listen to me, friend. I thought about sometimes, let me give you three or four things. Bible says in Psalms 85:10, says righteousness and peace met together and kissed. Them two things go together. Say, preacher, I ain't got no peace. Maybe because you forgot where your righteousness came from. I could have ran a little bit right there. You start remembering that everything you are is based on what He is. All of a sudden there's a peace with God. There's a peace from God. And there's the peace of God. That triune peace, the trinity of all pieces, come down on the inside of your heart. And can I say this? Listen, there's times in our life, no doubt, and we've had peace with God, and that the peace from God's evaded us. But I'm telling you, friend, whenever you get in that right standing with Christ, and you know where your peace comes from. I mean, listen, thank God, there ain't nothing like just laying back and resting in what Christ has done. Amen. Let me tell you this. I'm about preached out tonight, but I'm going to share with you just a few things. I'm going to be done. I rest in it when disobedience condemns me. You ever been wrong? Things not right between you and God? And you say, oh man, what I do now? Boy, I'm glad I got a word for that. I'm glad somewhere down there my Sunday school teacher's been teaching on it for a mighty long time. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He said, my little children, these things have I written unto you that ye sin not. Amen. We ain't for sinning, are we? Amen. Be ye holy as I am holy. I believe that. But if you're going to try to convince me you ain't sin, and the Bible says you're a liar, and so do I. Amen. Say amen right there. That's right. Thank God. You say, Brother Kevin said you was a liar. You go tell that crowd that said they ain't sin. And I'm telling you, they're a liar. Amen. Yeah. And they ain't arrived yet. The Apostle Paul's better than anybody here. Romans 7, Bible says, the good which he would, he did not. That which he would not, that he did. I'm telling you, thank God. He said, I find it alone. Anytime I go do good, evil's always present with me. I'm telling you, you ain't arrived yet. Amen. Yeah. He said, and if any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father. Says Jesus Christ. What? What is that? Thank God. You reckon of all the names he could have said, right there he said, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what he's reminding you of? He's reminding you, even when you're unrighteous, Christ is still righteous. Even when you're wrong, he's still right. Even when you messed up, he never has. That's why we've got a holy, a spotless go-between. And when things ain't right, I can run to my Heavenly Father and bow down and rest on the fact that he's still right. Amen. That's how you get right. Thank God. Oh, listen. I'm glad for that, aren't you? When disobedience condemns us, I thought about this when my doubts confused me. Oh, I thought about it in Romans chapter 4. Brother Joe been preaching on Romans chapter 4 a little bit. Thought about it in Romans chapter 4. Whenever Abraham didn't have it figured out how God was going to do what he was going to do. He said, man, he didn't know how he's going to do it. He just said, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations, according to that word which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. Is that right? Said Abraham believed God, and it was
counted unto him for righteousness.
He said, thank God. He just quit trying to figure out how, and he just started believing who. And when he started believing who, he didn't have to worry about the how. He just started resting in God. He said, I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm 100 and she's 90. But I believe you, God. And God said, I'm going to count that as right. Amen. You know why it's righteousness? Because the God of the earth can't do anything but right. Amen. Boy, That might not help you, it helps me. I'm resting in the fact that my mind, when doubts arise all around me, and I can't figure out what's right and what's wrong. Anybody else ever there? Trying to discern the will of God and figure out what's right and what's wrong. I'm glad I can rest in the right. Listen, could I tell you this? I'm just going to say it like this. I don't know. I'm not trying to act like I've arrived. I promise you I'm not. But I'll tell you what I have rested in. Brother George, I have rested in the fact that if God wants me to go through a door, He can open a door that nobody can shut. Right. And Scott, if God wants to close a door, He can close a door nobody can open.
Right.
And I ain't got to figure out what's what.
Right.
I just got to walk.
Right.
And if the door opens, don't make this mystical. Just walk through it. Amen.
Yeah.
And if God don't want me to go through it, God's big enough to shut it. Don't you think that's right? Just lay your head down. Rest in the fact that God is right. And He'll do what's right for all of us. All right, let me give you this last one. I can tell you're tired of listening and I'm wore out preaching. Stand to your feet. I'm done. I'm going to read this to you. And I'm going to be done. I thought about this. I'm going to rest in His righteousness when death confronts me. The reason that I ain't got to worry about my standing with God is He already told me what my standing is. Romans 8:1, He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so if God says there ain't no condemnation, I ain't got to worry about what happens when I die. Y'all right with that?
Yeah.
So I rest in it. Now, there's only two reasons why you ain't resting in Christ tonight. It comes down to two reasons. This is it. I'm going to prove this by the Bible. I'm going to show it to you. And I'm going to be done preaching. Only two reasons why you would not rest in Christ. One, you're ignorant and don't understand. And I mean that not derogatory. I mean that in the most sincerest sense of the word. Just don't know. You're lost and don't know. You don't understand that you don't have anything that'll ever please God. Ignorant. The only other reason why is because you're independent. And you know that it's only by Christ's righteousness, but you still want to try to do it your own way. All right, watch this and I'm done. I'm going to read this to you. Let this serve as a warning. May the Holy Ghost help us tonight. The Bible says in Romans 10:3, speaking of the nation of Israel, says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. That's ignorance. They knew they needed some. They just ignorant to His. And so they was trying to do things like Adam Beatty tried to do. And it never did please God. And it never did help him. I'll promise you tonight, I ain't taking his testimony, but I'll promise you tonight, the whole time he is doing that, he never had any rest in what he was doing. Couldn't. Then the next part says, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. First one's ignorant. Second ones, they declared their independence. They said, I don't need to submit myself to His righteousness. Now, I'm asking you this. If you're here today and you ain't resting in Christ, which one do you fall under? Ignorant or just independent? I'd say most everybody in this room knows that Christ is the only way to heaven. Probably nobody in here is ignorant. So if you're not resting in Christ, probably because you're just not willing to be dependent on Christ. We sing some song, play some song. Whatever you're going to play, whatever she's going to play. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. I'm preaching this to you because it'll help you.